because you're a moral person and really loving God. How many know the difference? See, Jesus says in John 14, 15, if you love me, come on, what? Come on, say it. Keep my commandments. So loving God is not a phrase that we use. It's not a slogan. You know, it's not something that we just go through. Jesus says, don't tell me how much you love me. What? Yeah, how? He says, if you love me, do my word. The simple things that he asks us to do. And being a Christian, you know, well, one of the things, everything that you get involved in has a culture. Anything that you get involved in has a culture. In other words, a culture is a pattern of behavior that fits that thing that you're in. So if you decide to join a health club, you know, there is a pattern of behavior in that health club. And if you're going to be a part of it, then you have to adopt the culture. There are people who go to health clubs, right? And really, they just enjoy the atmosphere. They just enjoy the music. But they do no exercise. They don't go to any station. They just like being there. You know, they love the music and so on. And then they love seeing everybody else, you know, getting fit and looking nice. So they go to every station and says, "Woo, oh, you look nice." But they don't do anything. So as a result, they never adopt the culture. So they never conform to that. Well, and so at church, I learned, the Bible says that we ought to call on the name of the Lord with those who call on the name of the Lord with a pure heart. We're going to see that scripture in a little bit. And so it's important to adopt the culture. But anyway, today we're going to be talking about the whole armor. Say the whole armor. Now, let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to read it together again, okay? Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. All right, so as soon as they put it up, is up there ready? Okay, let's read. In fact, let's read together from there. I'm going to put aside myself a little bit so you can see it. Ready? Let's read together. Finally, my brethren, be strong, come on, in the Lord and in the power of his might. How many want to be strong in the power of his might? Okay, let's read on. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Continue. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Go on. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Okay, one more, verse 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, go on, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, go ahead. Above all, say above all, above. Say above all, above. Taking the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Go ahead. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Okay, I think there it ends, right? Now, so we need to understand that we are in a battle. We are in a spiritual battle. The devil has declared war against you. Even if you didn't want to war against him, he has already declared war against you. And one of the things you have to do when war is declared against you is get ready for war. You just don't stand there when someone is going to beat you all over the head and just let them do it. You got to defend yourself. Because if you don't defend yourself, you're going down quickly. And so we need to understand that the devil is already in his mode. He's already doing what he's supposed to do. And we can look at John 10:10 quickly, and it says this: the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. You notice what Jesus calls him in this particular passage. He calls him what? A thief. In other words, and the devil does not play fair. The devil does not play, you know, well, we're going to do this the right way. The devil will blindside you. He will find ways to hurt you any way that he can. And then we look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, and we see him again, and Jesus again describing him. He says, be sober, Be vigilant because your ad. What is he? He's a thief. What else is he? He's an adversary. See, again, whether you like it or not, the devil is out to hurt you. The devil is out to ruin your life. He wants to take away your peace. He wants to take away your joy. And I want you to know that he wants to take away your prosperity. He wants to take away your health. His whole objective is to hurt you any way he possibly can. And so he's a thief and he's an adversary. He has nothing good to, when he thinks about you, all he thinks is, how can I hurt you? How can I defeat you? How can I bring you down? You see, and so as a result, we are fighting a battle against an enemy whose objective is to make sure that you're not on your feet. See, the Bible says that when you put on the whole armor of God, you're going to be able to stand. Now, one of the things that's important to understand about a fight is that when you're in a fight, the objective of a fight is to knock the other guy down so that he doesn't get up. How many have been in a fight? Don't raise your hands. In boxing, there's something called a standing 10 count. And so what they do is when the guy gets knocked down, they count to 10. If he doesn't get up within the 10 count, he's a loser, okay? He's lost the battle. In war, the objective is to kill your enemy with anything that will bring him down off his feet permanently. And so in a war, nobody is left standing. And so the whole idea is you got to go down. But I want you to read here in John 10:10 and in 1 Peter 3:8 that the devil is trying to knock us down. But the Bible says, if you look at Ephesians 6:11, it says that if we will put on the whole armor of God, we will be able to stand against all of the devil's mess. How many want to stand against all the devil's mess? I want you to know that he's plotting for you even as you're sitting down here. He's looking for a way to throw a fiery dart that will bring you down. It will take your peace and your stress will go up. And all of a sudden, you know, you may end up having to go into the hospital because you got an aneurysm. You're worrying so much that your brain is overtaxed. The enemy wants to hurt you. And whether you're young or old, he doesn't care. But I want you to know this morning that God has given us something called the armor of God, that when the devil comes to try to bring you down, the armor of God will insulate you so that you will remain standing and will not be defeated. You're not going to go down. He's going to go down. Because after he's tried everything, after he's attempted everything, he's going to say, what more do I have to do to bring this Christian down? But what he doesn't understand is that the armor that you have is not a physical armor. It's not an armor from the military. It's the armor of God. So when he's coming against you, he's actually coming against God himself. That's why Jesus says, the thief comes for to kill, to steal, and destroy. But I've come, come on now, that you might have and have it. So God wants you to live this life where you are a winner, where you are enjoying the life God has given to you. Now, you know, it's hard to enjoy life if you're sick. If your body is sick and you can't hardly move, that's not, how are you going to enjoy life that way? And so what God wants to do is he wants to heal your body. And once he heals your body, he wants you to live in divine health. I want you to know God wants you to live in divine health. But now understand something. In order for you to get the things that God wants you to have, you have to get the mind of God. You have to know that if God says it, you can claim it. I was, Celise today at the prayer meeting, she was mentioning something to me, and I loved her attitude and said, you know, she said, Pastor, she says, I'm believing God. That's why I'm here. I am believing God that I'm going to have everything that God has promised me. I'm not there yet, but I'm believing God for it. And she says, and that's why I'm praying, and that's why I'm seeking the Lord. And the point is this, is that, you know, if you don't have money, okay, you know, some people say, well, yeah, you don't have to have money to be happy. You know, I don't know about that. If you can't pay your bills, I don't know how you can be happy. If you're getting an eviction notice, how could you really be happy? You know, when you're walking back to your house, you don't know who's there, the marshal, the sheriff. You see, that's why, according to the word of God, the way God wants you to live, he wants you to live in abundance. I wish above all things that you prosper. Come on now. and be in health, even what? As your soul prospers. But and so I'm saying to you today that we need to take on the whole armor of God. You know what? So that when the enemy is trying to beat you with unemployment, he won't be able to do it. When the devil is trying to beat you down with diagnosis from the doctor says you got this, that you got that, you got the other, he's not going to be able to succeed. Look at the woman with the issue of blood. 12 years she was trying to get healed. But the moment she met Jesus Christ, what happened? She was healed instantaneously. I want you to know that he's the Lion of Judah. I want you to know that he's the conquering king. I want you to know that there's no weapon that's formed against you that's going to prosper, because the Bible says that God himself is going to raise up a standard against the enemy. So it's important that we have the whole armor of God. When you have the whole armor of God, you will not go down. And what happens to the devil? He gets angrier when he tries something and it doesn't work. He tried the first thing, he didn't get you. He tried the second thing and he didn't get you. He tried the third thing, he didn't get you. And so he gets angry and says, I'm bringing everybody with me. I'm bringing my demons. I'm bringing hell. I'm bringing everything. And then he tries that, but he doesn't realize that you cannot go down because you have the armor of God. The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God that you can withstand the attacks of the enemy. Are you ready to withstand the attacks of the enemy? I want you to know that whatever is facing you right now, some of you are sitting here and you're thinking about tomorrow, how you're going to deal with it. Listen to me. I want you to know that if you will put your trust in the Lord and not doubt what he says, you're going to come out a winner. You're going to come out on Tuesday and says, I don't know how it happened, but it happened. God came through once again. I want you to know that God is your conquering king. Listen, if you need a job, God can give you a job that's better than the one you're thinking about. If you have a business, I want you to know that with God's help, that business can climb. And so it is important that we understand that the enemy is going to do everything to fight us, but we have to put on the battle dress. Now, Paul, in this passage in Ephesians here, he uses a metaphor based on the armor or the battle dress of the first century Roman soldier. The things that he uses, the belt and the breastplate, all those were things that were part of the armor of the battle dress of the first century Roman soldier. And so just like the Roman soldier had to put on their armor, God is saying to us that we have to put on the armor. See, here's the thing. God is not going to put the armor on you. You got to put on the armor for yourself. See, being a Christian means that I got to do certain things for myself. Jesus already did everything he needs to do for you. He's already defeated the enemy. He went to the cross and says, and after he was finished the whole thing and he, you know, crucified and he was beaten and he was bruised, the Bible says, then he went down into the midst of the earth and then he resurrected. And you know what he said when he came up? All power. Hallelujah. Come on, if you're a Christian, I don't know whose side you're on, but I'm not on the side of the God who lost power. I'm on the side of the God who says all power has been given unto me. He says in heaven and in earth. And so it means that with God, all things are possible. You see, and God is able to change things in such a way. But we have to put on the armor of God. And once you put on the armor of God, you'll be able to stand against all the invisible powers of hell. Because remember, your battle is not with flesh and blood. Although you think is your daughter, and also although you think is your boss, or although you think is your neighbor, although you think is your husband, and those are the faces of your problem, those are not the problem. Your problem are the invisible powers of hell who are behind those people. And if all you do is stand there and fight against flesh and blood, you're going to continue going down. But what you have to do is look beyond that person and look beyond the situation and begin to say, Lord Jesus, I command that this spirit, this demonic spirit of poverty, this demonic spirit of sickness, this demonic spirit of depression, this demonic spirit of oppression, this demonic spirit of whatever it is, I say, I command that it goes down. And all you have to do is do the prayer, and then God is going to send an angel, and he's going to cause it to come to you. Remember that when Daniel prayed, he just prayed to God, And God sent an angel to bring the deliverance. Are you ready for your deliverance today? Well, then you have to call upon the name of the Lord. You have to know that God is your deliverer. God is just not something that we go through for religion. When you call upon the name of the Lord, he's going to come through for you with exactly what you need. If you're asking him for strength, he's going to give you strength. If you're asking him for peace, he's going to give you peace. And sometimes when you're going through a whole lot, what you need more than anything else is you need the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Because sometimes I'm telling you, the pressure is so much and the circumstances are so great that you don't quite know what to do. But I'm telling you, there is something called the peace of God. That even though the circumstances are greater than you, you can stand. And you can stand without going crazy. And you can stand without them sending you to the G building. Because the Spirit of the Lord is going to keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. You're not going down. Come on, tell your neighbor, you're not going down. And so, let's look at the armor. Let's look at what the armor is. And remember, you have to put on not some of the armor, but what? All of the armor. In fact, let's just read verse 6 of Ephesians and verse 11 again. You ready? Let's look at it. Let's go. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Go ahead. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So understand that we cannot win the battle. And we remember, winning the battle means that what? You keep standing. You don't go down. The moment you go down, what happens? You've lost. Or you are definitely losing. And so God says, I want you to put on the whole armor so that you can stand in the midst of Satan's attacks. Because I want you to know that Satan is coming with a vicious attack. He's not coming with something mild. Satan never does anything mild because it's not in his nature. He will do whatever he can to steal, to kill, or to destroy. He's looking for ways to bring you down. And so one of the things that his objective is always to turn you away from God and to turn you away from the word. He wants to make sure and get you back to sin. Now, and so we are to use every piece of the armor to stand, to win, to overcome. And the first thing that it says that we must have, look at verse 14. In fact, let's read it from verse 14. It says, stand therefore, having girded your waist, or the King James says what? Loins, same thing, with truth. Okay? So we must do what? We must gird our waist or our loins with truth. The word loins there deals with the private life. It means that in your personal life should be surrounded or encircled by the word of God. See, Jesus says in Matthew 4:4, man shall not... You see, if all you're doing is pursuing your education, if all you're doing is going to work and making a living, none of these things are wrong. If all you're doing is, you know, is working on your business, none of those things are wrong. But the Bible says that we must not just strive to live by bread alone. Is that enough just to work and make a living? Is that enough just to get an education so that you can, you know, demand a good position wherever you are? You know, is that enough just to go through life, you know, taking care of all the physical things that are necessary? Jesus says you cannot live by bread alone. Some people are trying to do it, but I'm telling you, you're not living, you're just existing. Because the way to live is to live by the word of God. That, you know, Psalms 119 and verse 105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That means you do nothing without the guidance of the word. See, that's what it means to put on the belt. The belt is truth. And the interesting thing about this is that the psalmist says in Psalms 119 and verse 11, says, your word I have hid in my heart so that I might not sin against you. I want you to know that if you're trying to overcome the devil, if you have a sin problem that you can't seem to win, all you... Fighting with the sin is not the answer. Sometimes we keep saying, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And you know what? The next time you get a chance, you do it. Because you're fighting it the wrong way. The only way to overcome sin is you have to hide the word of God in your heart. Because when it's in your heart, the enemy can't get to it. Are you following me? And so that's why and that's what the scripture lets us know, that it's important that as we fight this battle, that we also do the following. There's a scripture in John chapter 8, verses 31 to 32. You see, the word that we're supposed to gird ourselves with, encircle ourselves with, it's not an intellectual process. It's not just knowing John 3:16. How many of you have known John 3:16 for a long time and you still have sin? Just knowing John 3:16 is not enough. How many know Psalms 27 verse 1? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. And you've known that and you still sin. You still lost it at Pathmark or wherever it is. Right? Why? Because I want you to understand that God doesn't want us to. Yes, we must learn the scriptures, yes, in our intellect. But where the scripture works to give you victory is here. You have to have it here. You have to have a relationship with Jesus. Look at what it says here in John 8, 31 and 32. Let's look it together. Then Jesus said to those Jews who what? Who believed him. So what do we know about these Jews? They already were believers. But look what he says. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You see, you have to move from just being a believer. You know, I gave my heart to Jesus. I asked Christ to come into my life. All that's fine, but if that's where you are, you're going to live in defeat. You have to grow. You know, one of the worst things that can happen to a parent is to have a little baby, and when they're five, they're still acting like a one-year-old. They're not growing. It's a sad state of affairs. You know, it's something that pains the parents because we know that that's not normal. And what Jesus is saying here, it's not enough just to believe. You have to go into disciples. And how do you become a disciple? If you abide in my word. You know what that means? It means that everything you do, you consult what the word says before you do it. You know, the word says not to do it. What do? I don't do it. You see, and if the word says this is the way to do it, that's the way you do it. And so it becomes important. And so he says here, and let me continue. And verse 32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Listen to me. You got to understand this. The word of God is so powerful. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Do you know that? Don't raise your hands, but if right now you're experiencing lack, you're experiencing shortage. I mean, everything that you do, it doesn't seem like it works out. Yesterday, one of our sisters was here, and she offered a request and said, you know, the enemy seems to always be coming against us. Every time that we should be going this way, we're going this way. How many can identify with her? But I want you to understand this now. You see, God intended for the word to set you free. Set you free from what? Set you free from sickness. Set you free from depression. Set you free from loneliness. Set you free from poverty. The word of God has the power to do that. But listen to this here. And so here in this verse, it says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And what? And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Say it again with me. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, you know something? Either the truth is going to set you free, or it's not. You see, here is that middle ground that the devil tries to bring so many believers into. He says, come on now. You know, it ain't going to work like that. I mean, come on. You've been poor for 5 years. Your family's been poor for 45 years. You've been poor. You're still poor. Your kids are going to be poor. Everybody is broke. Everybody that is in this generation is broke. Nobody can help nobody. You know, and listen, or you know what? Or the same sickness that killed your great-great-great-grandmother, it has killed everybody else in the path and is about to kill you. See, at some point, you have to know that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set me free. It's going to set me free from that generational curse of cancer or that generational curse of diabetes, whatever it is. I want to know that the word of God can set me free from that past. You know what? The family has been broke for the last 50 generations, but starting with me, the word of God sets me free from that which the enemy has done. But here is the problem with the scripture. Because when it says, and you shall know the truth, it sounds like something that you have, that an intellectual thing. It sounds like something that, you know, well, you know, I have to memorize John 3:16, and I have to know, you know, Psalms 27 verse 1. And I need to know Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all my need. And it sounds like this is what it takes. It takes memorization. It takes knowledge. But the word for know here is not the word that we would think it is in the Webster's Dictionary. It is a Greek word that I have taught our people for years and years. It's the Greek word gnosko. And so the word gnosko in the Greek is not know like intellectually or mentally. The word gnosko means to have a relationship with. So if we put it in the context of the Greek language, this is what it says. And you shall have a relationship with the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. What I'm saying to you today, that if you need to be set free, it's not enough to know what the Bible says. You have to have a relationship with the truth in order for you to be set free. So the reason why we're struggling and we're battling and things are not happening, and I'm telling you right now, once you get into a relationship with the truth, you shall be set free. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Depression is not going to get the best of you. You're not going to be down all the time. There's some people who are down all the time. When you call them in the morning, they're down. You call them at night, they're down. You call them in the middle of the day, they're down. You know why? Because they need to be set free, not by a clinical psychologist, but they need to get set free by the word of God. I want you to know that if you will import the word of God to your heart, you will be set free from everything that's contrary to life and blessings. God has promised you that what he has given to us is he's given to us life. He's given to us blessings. God wants us to be above and not beneath. He wants us to be the first and not the last. God wants you to be a success at whatever you do. And so it's not enough just to have an intellectual knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's nice if that's all you want to do. But if you really want to experience his power, if you really want to experience his greatness, if you want to be able to get loose from the chains of darkness around you, you have to know the truth. That means you have to have a relationship with Jesus. Because who is the truth? Jesus. Who is the truth? Who is the truth? Who is the truth? And so when you know the truth shall set you free. I don't think you got that. Listen, Jesus himself is going to set you free. The reason why you can be set free is because he is the truth. Talking to Celeste, I said, listen, you hold on to the word of God. And don't think about how God is going to do it, because your responsibility is to put faith in God. It is his responsibility to work it out any way that he wants to do it. And you know what? There's nothing impossible with God. If you're trusting God today, I want you to know that you can go to the doctor tomorrow. And if you have trusted him, all of a sudden the x-ray has a different look from the time you went before. He's going to say, what happened over here? And you're going to say, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, tell me, where would I be? Come on, I'm trying to tell you the armor of God. You got to put on the belt, which is truth. You got to put on the belt with its truth. Now, let's look at another part of the armor. It's called the breastplate of righteousness. And so we also have to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, righteousness is part of the armor. You know, and you get this part of the armor when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, listen to me carefully now. We're going to go to Romans 10, 9, and 10 in a minute. So the moment that you do this, that you ask the Lord Jesus to come into your life, he immediately gives you righteousness. Righteousness is a gift. The righteousness that you have, every believer has, is not a physical righteousness. It's not a moral righteousness. It's the exact righteousness of God. When you get saved, God imputes it, the Bible says. In other words, he makes it yours. It automatically becomes linked to your life. All of a sudden, you have this thing called righteousness. And so, and see, the Bible lets us know that if you're righteous, then nobody can make you unrighteous. Nobody can take away your righteousness. And so what the devil tries to do is play a game of condemnation. What happens is that the moment that you come to him, he wants to disqualify that righteousness. And so let's look at Romans 10, 9, and 10. Follow this carefully. Because the reason why you need to understand this is because, you see, when God saves you, when you really come to the Lord, and understand that there's two types of repentance. There is, the Bible says, there is human sorrow, and there is what? Spiritual sorrow. Human sorrow is you're just sad and you're upset that this thing didn't go down right. You're sad that this thing didn't work out the way you planned it. And so, you know, you're sorry. And it's not that you're not sorry. Yes, you are sorry, but it's human sorrow. But human sorrow does not bring repentance. It does not change your life. You continue doing what you do and you will continue doing it again. But see, but the Bible says that godly sorrow works repentance. And what is repentance? Repentance means that I was walking in this direction and I turn completely around and I'm walking in this direction. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, listen to me. The moment you come to Christ, this is what should happen. All things become new. You follow me? All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. The things I used to do, I don't do them no more. The places I used to go, I don't go there no more. The things I used to like, I don't like them no more. And it's not, and I'm not doing this in my own strength. It's because something happened to me at my spiritual birth. Listen to me carefully. Because, see, you can condemn yourself and fight yourself, and the enemy will, every time you're into condemnation, you will lose the battle every time. You'll get depressed. You'll get down. You'll stop reading your word. It will pull you from God. But here's the reason why. Look at Romans 10, beginning of verse 9. Let's read it. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe, hold on, and believe where? Now, I got to give you this word. This, the Greek word for believe there is pisuo. Pisuo, okay? It's pisuo. So it's not believe in the sense of just, well, you know, yeah, I really believe that there is a God. Yes, I believe there's a God. The intellectual kind of thing. Yeah, you know, oh, yes, no, I know, I believe there's a God. Oh, no, there is a God. I'm telling you there's a God. It's not that. Listen to me. This is the difference. That's what I'm saying to you. The reason why I believe in eternal security, which means once saved, always saved, is because I understand the process. I know what happens when a relationship with God is struck. When 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, when a man comes to Jesus and there is, and that thing really happens, I can tell you, and I was very young when it happened, and you know what? The moment that I gave my heart to the Lord that morning, I ran home. And the moment I put my play clothes on, as they call it, right? Because back then, that's how it is. You had your church clothes, and then you had your play clothes. My play clothes, and I ran to my best friend, and I said, listen, I want you to know that something happened to me. I didn't even know how to explain it, but I knew something happened on the inside. You can't meet Jesus and not know that something happened. When Paul the apostle, when he was on his way to kill all these Christians, the moment he met Jesus, he knew he met Jesus. The Bible says he was struck down on the floor and blindness came upon him. And then he says, Lord, I'm sorry that I crucify you. And the Bible says that Jesus changed him from that day. And he became one of the greatest apostles of all time. Two-thirds of the New Testament was written by this man. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Come on, somebody. He's a new creature. Now, and so the word believe is important because the word pisuo means to truly trust in Jesus. It means to truly believe in him, to be fully convinced when you're saying that you want him, that you love Jesus, and that you want to serve him for the rest of your life. How many, when you gave your heart to God, you felt that? That you were never going to go back to that world. I'm never going back to that world. I came from that world, but I don't want to go back to it. Because listen, the Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that what? That trusts in him. How many believers here are trusting in him? How many know that he will never fail you? And listen, once you tasted of Jesus, and the reason why people who backslide have so many problems, because the Bible says that when they backslide, seven more devils worse than the first ones come in. And the scripture says, you're the way of the backslider. It's crazy. Now let's continue verse 10. For with the heart, read it, one believes unto righteousness, the breastplate of. Guess when you get that part of the armor? The moment you get to Jesus, he gives you the breastplate of righteousness. And I'm going to tell you why. And so what happens is that when you come to Jesus and really give your heart to him, because you're human, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to commit some sins. And so what happens when you commit a sin is two things happen. You begin to feel immediately conviction and condemnation. They really feel like exactly the same thing, but they're coming from two different sources. Condemnation points to your sin and makes you feel bad about the fact that you've sinned. And as a result, you know, that condemnation says, you know what? What's the use in trying? Because you know you're going to do it again. You know that this thing ain't real. You know that you like this better than you like the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that this thing doesn't work. And as a result, condemnation, why bother praying? It didn't help you this time. You think it's going to help you next time? This is all condemnation speaking. Condemnation points to the sin. Yes, it does. And it says, what's the use of reading the Bible? What's the use of reading the Word? What's the use of coming to church? And all of a sudden, you start regressing when it comes to God. You keep falling away from God. Because condemnation, while it points to the sin, just like conviction, comes from the devil. It's the devil's actual weapon against you. And what he does, he tries to come similar to how Jesus comes and says, you sin. And of course, you say, yes, I've sinned. He says, you know what? So stop trying. You know, you're going to do this thing again. You know you're going to do it again. You know you don't have the victory over this thing. You know this thing has the victory over you. And as a result, you go into condemnation and you begin to retreat from God. You begin to retreat from church. You begin to retreat from prayer meeting. You begin to retreat from the people of God, because the devil likes to bring people into isolation from the congregation. Because you must understand that the church that Jesus is building is a body. If you're standing way out here, how can he be building you? Are you following me? Jesus says in Matthew 16, 18, I will build my church. I want you to hold the hands of the person next to you. You see this? This is the church. If the devil wants to get Roger, he can't get him if he's connected to these people. In order to get to him, he has to fight Kathy, and he has to fight Rachel, and he has to fight the person behind him. And he can't win the battle just by coming, because he's not isolated. But Roger, come over here now. I'm going to let the devil get you now. Now he's over here. How many ways can the devil come? Give me a number. Four ways. I think six. From the bottom and from the top. So he can get him, you know, east, west, south, and north. But he can also get him, because remember, he's down there anyway. So he that's easy. He can ascend. Shoo. You follow me? All right, get back so they won't get you. So the point is this. And so that's what he does. He tries to isolate you from the body of Christ, from the church that Jesus is building. But listen to this. But the same thing happens similar to condemnation, which is called conviction. Conviction points to the sin, but it says, you know what? You can be forgiven. Hebrews 4:16, you know what he says? Come boldly. He says, come boldly, what? To the throne of grace, where you can obtain mercy and you can find what? Unmerited favor to help you in the time of need. I don't know about you, but how many times have I used that? A million times. Because I'm not perfect. None of us are perfect. So that's why Jesus says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. That means that when I go off on course, I don't have to try and prove anything to the Lord. All I have to do is say, Lord, here I am. And the Bible says he comes with his faithfulness. And he cleanses me not just from the sin I'm asking him for, but he cleanses me from every other unrighteousness that's in my life. Come on, you ought to give God some praise for that. And so that's how you know the difference. And so that's why whenever the enemy's coming to you with condemnation, use the breastplate of righteousness. Yeah, you sin. Yeah, I sin. You ain't no good. Wrong. My righteousness, it's not a physical righteousness. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. So that's fine, but guess what? I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. And so even though you don't think I'm good, the one who saved me and set me free, the one who took me out of my sins, as devious as they were, he says that I am loved in him and the beloved. And so I want you to know, and there's a scripture that says this, that's a powerful scripture. It says here in 1 Peter 4:9, it says, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. See, when you come to Jesus, Jesus doesn't sit there and just say, yeah, yeah, I know you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Same thing over and over. What am I going to do with you? No, the Bible says that whenever we sin, just like the prodigal son, when he left, the father kept looking for him all the time because he loved that son. I want you to know that Jesus loves you. When you fail him, you don't have to wait till you get home. You don't have to wait till you get to church. Wherever you are, you can breathe a prayer and says, Lord, just wash me in your blood. And immediately, listen to me, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This doesn't take weeks. It doesn't take months. It doesn't take minutes. In the instance that you say, Lord, forgive me, guess what? Your sins are forgiven. And so you have the victory. And so we have to put on what else? The breastplate of righteousness. So we have, so the two things that we have so far that we have to put on. We have to put on what? The belt. What's the belt? Truth. We have to live by the guidance of the word. We have to choose by the directions of the word. Now, when we say the word, some of you can't pass beyond the fact that this is a book. But I want you to know that the truth is not just a book. The word of God is not just a book. The Bible says, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. So when you're reading the Bible, what are you doing? You're having intimate communication with God. It's not a book. You follow me? And so it's important. And so when the enemy tries to bring you down again with condemnation and say, ah, you're never going to make it, remind them of this scripture in Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. So even though that many, the enemy meant it for evil, God is going to turn it around for my good. Okay, you put that sickness on me, but you know what? God is going to turn it around, and I'm going to testify before a whole audience of people and say, the devil tried to kill me, but the Lord gave me life. The devil tried to destroy me, but he lifted me up. I want you to know that you are going to have a testimony against the devil, because all things, not some things, but all things work together for good. Maybe you had me on the unemployment for about 5 or 6 or 7 weeks, but when God does this thing, he's going to make up for all the lost time and all the lost month. The salary is going to be greater and bigger than I could have ever imagined. He's going to do greater than I could ever ask or even think. Come on, are you with me here? There's another scripture, Philippians 1:6. I want you to know that if you really believed or pissed you, then this is for you. It says this, being confident of this very thing, come on now, that he who has begun, come on now, a good work. Listen, God doesn't start bad works. I mean, we're not perfect, I understand that, but he doesn't start bad works. He that has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Despite of who I am and despite of my failures and mistakes, I want you to know that I'm going to get to heaven. Why? Because he started the work and he says, I'm going to finish it. In spite and despite of you, regardless of where you are, regardless of where you come from, regardless of your race or denomination, it doesn't matter. God who starts something is able to finish it. And there's no demon in hell that can stop him. Come on and give him some great praise. Will you do that? Let's look at another part of the armor. Have you put on your belt yet? What are you waiting for? Do you have your breastplate of righteousness? You have your shield of righteousness? Okay. And then it says here, and your feet, in verse 15, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It means putting on your shoes, if you will. It means that you don't walk on people, but you get to share with people the word, the good news. You know, when you go through your day, you take the opportunity to say to somebody, the Lord loves you. The Lord is going to give you the strength to go through. He can set you free. In other words, part of the armor is putting on these shoes that reminds me that it's my responsibility to share Christ wherever I go. It's my responsibility to lift somebody up with the word of God every time I get a chance. So if there's a believer that comes, you know, and something is like when she started share, I took the opportunity to use my shoes. I say, yes, Elise, you can do it. You're more than a conqueror according to the word of God. What I'm saying to you that, see, being a believer is not just going to church. You come into church and you leave church and everything that's with it. That's it. You just come in and you go and it's like a blur. I don't even know what he said. You see, how many of you tomorrow, I know you ain't doing it today, how many tomorrow are going to walk out of your house bare feet? You ain't putting on no shoes. You're going to walk on the snow like that. You're going to, you know, you're going to blister your whatever is already blistered. You're going to do all that. You're not going to put on shoes. See, shoes remind you that you have some kind of protection. And so part of what God is saying, that the shoes is part of the presence of God that I don't forget. I know that I'm saved and I know that I believe in Jesus. And every opportunity that comes my way, I'm going to tell you. And I'm going to say to you, you know what? I want you, the Lord loves you, baby. See, the opportunity comes my way. You know, I want you to know, you know, you said to me, listen, you know, things are going bad. Guess what? I have someone who's able to help you through that situation. I want you to know that his name is Jesus. It's taken every opportunity to share the gospel. So the reason why the Bible says some Christians don't stand is because they might have put on the breastplate of righteousness and maybe they put on the belt, which I know that's impossible, but they don't put on the shoes. They don't remember that they have a responsibility to lift up the name of Jesus wherever you go. Every time you get a chance to lift up Jesus, you lift him up. I don't care if it's in the courtroom. This past week, there was an interview with Kevin Durant. They said, listen, how have you done? He's had this incredible amount of scoring over the last maybe 8, 9, 10 games. And they said, how do you do that? You know what he says? The Lord Jesus Christ. The reporter didn't know what to say. And I'm telling you, the reporter literally for about maybe 10 seconds. And 10 seconds, you know, it's a long time when it comes to these things. Because she said, the Lord Jesus. But you know what? I'm telling you, he was wearing his shoes. And he was making sure that Jesus Christ gets some kind of glory and some kind of credit. Are you hearing me today? You see? And so you have to be conscious of who you are. Every day that you get up, know that your shoes tells you, I'm a child of the living God. I'm going to share Christ to every opportunity I get. When someone says to me they're down, I want you to know that God can lift you up. When someone says they're sick, I want you to know the Lord Jesus can heal your body. When someone says I'm struggling financially, I want you to know the Lord can supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so it's important. The helmet of salvation. This is an interesting one because here the helmet of salvation defines the hope of the coming of the Lord. And I'm going to tell you this because this is the reality. Do you know that I never forget that Jesus is coming? I just don't. There's never an hour or day that somehow it evades me. Because when I was growing up, this message of the coming of the Lord was like almost every week. You heard it, and if the message was faith, the coming of the Lord was in it. If the message was love, the coming of the Lord was in it. Whatever the message was, the coming of the Lord was in it. There's a song that we used to sing, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Say it. Soon and very soon, we are. Okay, that's it. So the helmet of salvation, because I want you to know this. Listen to me. Someone named C.H. Spurgeon, a great saint of the past, Martin Luther, Augustine, Paul, Peter, were all great men who lived their lives anticipating the coming of the Lord. But Jesus says that we must live our lives anticipating that he's coming. And I want you to know that whether you like it or not, Jesus Christ is coming. But the Bible says that he's coming like a thief. But you know, the thief in the night is not for you and me, because we're ready. You know, if you're ready for something, you can't be caught off guard. I'm ready for his coming, so he can't come like a thief for me. But he's coming like a thief for believers who don't anticipate his coming. Remember the five wise and five foolish virgins? The five foolish virgins says, listen, let's take a little break here. Let's go to Subway's and get genuine footlong, whatever that is. While they went to get the genuine footlong, Jesus came. And then they were banging, 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 banging. And what did Jesus says? Too late. I want you to know that it's time for us to wear the helmet of salvation. I remember at BT, the pastor saying this, says, you know, we ought to live our lives like Jesus is coming tomorrow, but plan like he's not coming for another 1,000 years. Because you know what happened to some of the Christians in Thessalonica? Because they were all looking at the coming of Christ and they were saying, Jesus is coming soon, what they did is they left their jobs because they were so fixed on Jesus coming. They left doing anything. And then Paul had to write in his epistle to them, occupy yourself until he comes. Don't stop going to college. Don't stop working on a job. Don't stop living and advancing and going forward. Keep occupying yourself, but just keep your mind on the fact that he can come any day. Are you following what I'm saying to you? So we ought to live our lives like as if he's coming tomorrow, but yet he's not coming for 1,000 years. So keep on planning whatever you're planning. Because if he comes in the middle of your plans, so be it, Lord Jesus. But we must know that Jesus Christ is coming. And I want you to know, whether you like it or not, when you look at the signs of the times that we live in, there's everything points to the fact that Jesus Christ can come tomorrow. So be ready, be ready, be ready, be ready. You have to be ready. And it's important. Let me go to another one. Let me go to the sword of the Spirit. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And the word there, the word is Makaira, which means a battle sword. But not really that, like the big, big sword. It means a dagger that you use to do combat with. In other words, this sword and the word there for the word is rhema. So God wants you to experience hearing a rhema. The sword of the Spirit is a rhema. When you're going to fight a battle, you don't fight the battle just based on the logos. Listen to me carefully. You have to fight the battle based on the rhema, because the rhema is an exact word from God that tells you exactly what you need to do and how things are going to come out. Listen to me. Many Christians, they don't realize that they can hear from God, so they pretty much just go by this. But the Bible says you got to carry the rhema. That's the sword of the Spirit. It's a precise word from God. So I'm telling you, if tomorrow you're going to an interview, you ought to say to them, say, Lord, I need you to tell me what I need to do in this interview. I need you to speak to my heart. Listen, how long are we going to be reading all these passages of Scripture? He spoke to Peter. When Peter was up sleeping, he spoke to Peter. He spoke to Paul. He spoke to Daniel. Don't you think he's still speaking? He can still speak to you. You're no less than those people back then. But the problem is we don't believe he can speak. So as a result, we say, okay, I think I know what you're saying. And we end up losing every battle. You cannot fight the enemy. You know when the Bible says that when the Bible says the devil came to him and he says, it is written. You know what the Greek language there is? He said, the rhema says. It wasn't just a logos that he was referring to. He actually got a word from God that says, tell the devil this. Listen, when you have the exact word from God, the devil will have to back up every single time. Every time you come to him and you say, the Lord says this, devil, the devil has to go 1,000 feet behind and let you do what you do. He'll come back again like he always does, but he will not stop that victory. That victory is yours. You don't have to fight for it anymore. You don't have to keep fighting the same battle 3 and 4 times. Every time you use the sword, the rhema, the battle is over. because the enemy cannot overcome the rhema. The rhema is a specific word from God that says you shall get that job. You shall get that promotion. It's time for us to walk with the confidence that God can speak to us. And he wants to speak to us. And so, but you know what? You'll never get a rhema that does not come from the Logos. So if you have no Logos, you can't get no rhema. Let me say it again. Some people don't study the word. They'll join the gym. You know, they'll join some other social network. But when it comes to the things of God, God things are always put second. You know, a week goes by and there's not even this much effort to try and find themselves with the people of God. There's not this much effort. The only thing they missed this week is something that had to do with God. But then the doctor said, you're going to die of cancer. All of a sudden now they want the church to come and fast and pray and seek the Lord. You know what? Look at the scripture. God is not a puppet. He says this, if you seek me. So all you people who think that somehow you can puppet him into things, and that's why sometimes, you know, even, you know, as a good gesture, we pray, and some things don't happen for some people. Because you know what the problem is? It's them and God. They've continually discounted the voice of God. God says it, and they act as if he didn't say it, and they kind of pick him up, drop him off. I'm going to tell you right now. Here's what the scripture says. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. Listen to me. I didn't say that's a Hebrews 11, 6, just to let you know there's a scripture behind this. And so it's important. But I have to move on here, right? But I want you to know and listen to me. Salise, you believe God for a precise word. Believe God for rhema because he wants to do it. Just like he spoke to Daniel. Just like he spoke to the three Hebrew boys. Just like he spoke to Moses. He spoke to Joshua. And he spoke to Solomon. And he spoke to Peter. And he spoke to Matthew. And he spoke to Ronnie Leakey. And why? Because it's no difference between a child of God of the past and a child of God of the present. You just have to know who you are in God and expect that if he says he's going to do it, he's going to do it. Know that he's going to speak to you. I told you that when we were to get back into this building, the Lord spoke to me and says, call that man and give him an offer. That's like almost half of what he wanted. And you know, and when I heard it, I didn't think it was God. And so I didn't follow the directions the way God told me, and everything blew up. And so I left the spot where I did the bad situation. And then I got near the conduit and the Lord told me to pull over, and I pulled over. And he said to me, you know, I didn't tell you to call. I didn't tell you to speak to anyone. I told you to write a proposal. And so immediately I called Minister Mary. I said, Minister Mary, please write this proposal. And she sent it. And you know, because you know what he did? The moment I spoke to the guy who he said to me, he says, you know, he said, with all due respect to you, I will never give him this proposal. This is an insult to this owner. He says, how do you expect me? He said, by the way, it was 6,000 before, now it's 7,000. And you expect me to give him half of this as a proposal? It's not going to happen. And so that's why, you know, I hung my head down and I went and I was driving. The Lord said, pull over and do it now. And I got a hold of Minister Barry and then she sent it. And you know, within about a week and a half or so, he wrote and says, I'm accepting the proposal. Something that I had proposed. The reason why I was a little hesitant because I had proposed this before we left to go to the school. And he rejected it. But I want you to know that when you have a rhema, all you got to do is use the rhema and walk in your victory. You don't have to wonder if it's going to happen. You just have to know it's going to happen. Come on and give God some praise. Now I want to do the last one where it says above all. Let's read this together. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. You ready? Okay, ready? Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Can we say, read it again? Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. Now, we need to understand this. The Bible says that not only that we're going to quench some of the fiery darts of the enemy, right, Christina? We're going to be able to quench what, David? All the fiery darts of the enemy. Wait, okay. So that means if right now I'm struggling financially, you mean that I can win that? Yes, you can. You mean to tell me if the doctor gave me a bad diagnosis about that there's something wrong in my liver, I have prostate cancer, or I got this, that, or the other, that what? That I'm going to win over that? You mean to tell me that if someone is trying to mess with me on the job and trying to put me down and trying to get rid of me, that they won't be able to do it because God says no? Is that what you're telling me? This is what it says, that we're going to be able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. And so it's important for us to understand. One of the first things that we have to do is look at the word above all. And I gave it to you last week. The word above all does not mean most importantly. He's not saying that the helmet is more important or the shield of faith is more important than the shoes or the breastplate of righteousness. The word above all means what? Covering all. It means what? Covering all. And so the Bible says that we're to take the shield of faith so that what? We can cover ourselves in every direction that the enemy's trying to come. You know why the reason the Bible says that we should not walk in fear? You know, listen, if, for example, someone has the ability to come and attack me from my back, from the front, from the side, from this side, from above and beneath, don't you think I should be a little afraid? Because he can come in directions that I can't defend myself. But the Bible says that we should have no fear against the enemy. That we should walk like the children of light and know that there's nothing the devil can do to bring me down if I'm covered all. If everything is covered. Now, so listen to this. So here, in speaking to his protege, Timothy, said this. But before we get to that, I want you to know this. So that means that if you're losing your battle, okay, you know, your business is not growing. Your employment is stagnant. Some people are at a position where they've been on the job 20 years and they just can't go any further. You know, the benefits are not growing. The salary is not growing. See, what I want you to know, that according to the word of God in the book of Isaiah, it says that God teaches us to profit. God wants you to profit. It's in the scripture. God doesn't want you to lose. He wants you to profit. So when you're losing, that means that you're not in the will of God, because the will of God is that you profit. So whatever you do, so if you're in a job, you need to believe God, whether he keeps you there or takes you to another place. But you know what? You ought to be increasing, because your increase does not come from the east or from the west, but it comes from the Lord. The Bible says, but my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I don't have to worry about the employer not wanting to do it. Whether he wants to do it, if that's the mean that God is going to use, they're going to have to give you that raise. And if God doesn't want that channel to be used, he'll put you somewhere else and they'll give you a better job, better position, better benefits, and a forward-moving situation. What I'm saying to you, that whatever you're going through, all you have to do in order to keep on standing, in order to keep on going, is put the shield of faith. Remember last week we did it? You got, Carol, do you still have that? Okay, come on, bring it. I want to see it again. Right? So it means that when you have the shield of faith and it's covering all, that every fiery dart of the enemy is not going to work. If he comes from the top of you, he's not going to be able to succeed. If he comes from the side of you, he's not going to be able to succeed. If he comes from the back of you, he's not going to be able to succeed. I don't care what it is. And that's why I'm saying to you as believers, that starting this moment right now, if you're experiencing poverty and lack and shortage, you can change it right now. You can reverse what the enemy is doing. Put on the whole armor of God, so that he will not be able to bring you down. It's time for us to live in the victory that God has given to us. Sickness is not going to defeat us. Poverty is not going to defeat us. Depression is not going to win over us. I want you to know that no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. But you know what? Unless you use the shield of faith, it's not going to work. Because what does the shield of faith do? It quenches. It stops every fiery dart of the enemy. They just gave you a bad diagnosis this week. You know what? Reject that in the name of Jesus, and says that weapon is not going to come nigh me. that fiery dart is not going to work. And so it's important that when we do what Paul the Apostle told Timothy, look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. Let's read it together as soon as they get it. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. You see, this is what the Bible is talking about, is that as believers in Christ, as folks who know the Lord Jesus Christ, you are to understand that when sin comes and the enemy tries to tempt you, lust, you know, have you ever been in church or even in prayer and some bad thing just comes across your mind? You're minding your own business, trying to do the right thing, and all of a sudden, a fiery dart comes. Lust, anger, I'm gonna kill somebody. You follow me? Something comes, some fiery dart of the enemy. And listen, you're not in a bad place. You're in prayer meeting. And the devil is trying to tell you, you know what? Hey, so-and-so is going to be at this corner, man. Check it out. It comes. You know what the Bible says? Okay, here it goes. It says this. Flee, listen to me, also youthful lust. Listen. But pursue righteousness. Listen. But what? Pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those. That's the word. That's the key there. With what? With those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. In other words, run from the sin, but run to the company of believers who are pursuing faith, who are pursuing righteousness, who are pursuing charity, who are pursuing peace, and are calling on the name of the Lord. Wherever you're going, you have to go to a place where believers are calling on the name of the Lord. In other words, this particular weapon, this particular armor is not individual. In order to use this piece of the armor, you have to be connected to this lady and this lady and this lady and this man and this young man. In other words, you have to be joined together, because you cannot hold the shield by yourself, because you either have to hold it in the front or hold it above. But wherever you hold it, you're going to be attacked. You're going to be attacked. And so it's important that we understand that, in other words, we need to run and take cover under the shield of faith with your brothers and sisters. You have to huddle up. You have to huddle up. And that's a good word for today, because this is the Super Bowl, right? You have to huddle up. In order for you to win this battle with the shield of faith, you have to huddle up. You have to run where people are praying. You have to run where Bible study is being given. You have to join with brothers and sisters and know that if you join with them, the enemy is not going to get you. And so it's time for us to come under the cover of faith, the shield of faith that will stop every fiery dart of the enemy. When you come like this, you know what? Sickness is not going to work. When you come like this, unemployment is not going to work. When you come like this, being broke and not being able to pay your bills is not going to work. When you come like this, you'll never get up in the morning and be depressed another day. I want you, because the peace of God that surpasses all understanding is going to keep your heart and mind. It's time for us to understand the devil can't get you from the top. He can't get you in the front, because you have the shield of faith. I want you to know it's time for us to understand that we got to have the belt. Yes, we got to have the shoes. We got to have the breastplate. But we also have to have the helmet, and we have to have the shield of faith that you cannot have by yourself. That shield has to be connected to her and to the person behind you and the one next to you. And when that takes place, you're going to win every battle. You're going to overcome everything the enemy's trying to do against you. This is where it says no weapon that is formed against you. Why? Because if it's formed on top, it's not going to get through. If it's formed going this way, and don't forget, they had soldiers on the side too. And so, but most times the battle will always like this. That's why it was a top, and it was also in front. And so I want you to know today that once we do this, it's time to huddle up. Tell the neighbor, it's time to huddle up. You see, when you come into the congregation, listen to me. When you come to prayer meeting, you're huddling up. When you're coming to Bible study, you're huddling up. When you're coming to corporate worship, that's the reason why you might be worshiping God at home. But if you miss worship this morning, you miss a chance to huddle up. Because the Bible says with one you can chase 1,000, but with two you can chase 10,000. And with five you can chase millions of demons away. Some people don't have victory because they don't huddle up. They have their own individual praise, but there are too many demons that they have to fight, and they don't have enough resources. But you know, I'm going to huddle up with this brother, and I'm going to huddle up with this sister. You still huddling up over here, Minister Carr? Minister Roger? You got to huddle up, because when you huddle up, you actually assign the Spirit of the Lord to destroy demons on top of demons on top of demons, because your battle is not against the thing that you think you're fighting. The battle is against all those demons. So if you can bring the demons down, you can have your victory tonight. You can have your victory at this moment. Hallelujah. Thank you, everybody. Come on, you got to give them a hand. Run as fast as you can to those who will call on the name of the Lord with a pure heart. What did I say? Run as fast as you can to those who will call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. Find out where the prayer meeting is happening. You know, I was taught, my mom taught us to go to prayer meeting. You know, at the beginning, I didn't quite understand it. When I got of age, at a certain point where I understood it, you know, I love prayer meeting. And I love the results of prayer meeting. As a young teenager, I was beginning to experience answered prayers. Because, you know, God is no respecter of person. And so it doesn't matter what age you are. If you call upon him at 12, he's going to answer you. If you call upon him at 60, he's going to answer you. You know, our sister Oliphant is going to be, what is it? How old are you going to be? 90? She's going to be 90 years old, right? You know, I look at Mr. Matthews. And you know, that's why people who make excuses about coming to church late and all that. You know what? I also admire this young lady too. But you know what? I look at the fact that they have all kind of ailments that they can say, I can't do it. But you know what? That's why the goodness of the Lord will never leave them. Because of the fact that they're going to keep on going. Because, you know, there comes a time where your strength just completely fails. So while you have the strength, do it. Because the time is coming when you want to do it, you're not going to be able to do it. And so today, as believers in Christ, I want you to know that it's time for us to put on the whole armor. If you're not going to run with other believers, then you're not putting on the whole armor. Drop the rest of it, because it's not going to help you. See, Jesus didn't say put on some of the armor. See, what we want to do is say, I'm going to put on some of the armor. It's going to work. It's not going to work. That's another deception of the devil. The devil always tries to undo what God says. When God told Eve something, he tried to tell her something contrary. And you know what? You're too smart at this particular point. Eve didn't have the Bible like we do. We have the history. All we got to do is look and see what happened and says, I'm not going that way. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. Let's bow heads for a moment.